Have you had a lovely day? It's been a wonderful day. I like to get up in the morning and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will extol your love more than wine. Draw me after you and let us run together. And I have a really visual picture of what running together is. When I grew up on the ranch, we had draft horses. And, you know, those big Percherons hooked together as a team, running across the field, was just a phenomenal sight. And you really didn't want them to get going too fast because it was become very difficult to control them if they thought they had a little liberty. But I just think about being yoked with the Lord and running together. And my great-grandfather and my grandfather used to do a freight run for 80 miles in the wild. And they had 16 horses and 3 wagons. And they would travel, haul that freight back and forth. And so on the centennial of this area, which is Jordan, Montana, Miles City, Montana, which is way out in the middle of nowhere and hardly anybody knows where it is, but, you know, it's country. My uncle, who was 80 years old, reenacted that freight run. And he had 16 horses and pulled 3 wagons that 80 miles. And the way you break a new workhorse, and he had several of the horses that he took with him as workhorses for the team were green. They weren't broke yet. And so the way you do that is you hook them up to a seasoned horse. You hook them up to your best seasoned horse beside them, and you train them in the traces. And so I have pictures of all of that. That's part of my heritage. And so when I think of running with the Lord, it's like I get to be hooked in the traces with him, and he's training me as we run together in his love. It's his love, running together in his love. And last night, I thought I would kind of, I had some people asking me questions about the end of the story last night, so I'll fill you in. The boy that lived with us went to an institution, and we continued to visit him and love on him because he was only acting out the pain of his own life and the trauma that he had been through. And we did not, in fact, the night that my daughter told me what had happened, I walked into his bedroom. And I have to confess that I was so filled with rage. And he was 14. He was my size, or as tall as I was. Well, he was about my size then because I was a lot smaller. And I picked him up and threw him across the room. And I turned around and walked out. I'm not proud that I did that or how I reacted. And I went up and I got my husband and I told him what had happened. Well, he was gone, and I'd called him and he came home. And he too was very angry until he walked into the room. And he said when he walked into the room, he was arrested by the terror in the boy's eyes. And he said he just stopped and it just washed over him, the love of God. And he realized that when this boy was being ravaged by his father, there was nobody there in his defense. And he was just overwhelmed with love for him. And it did not diminish his love and his pain for his daughters. But it was a divine impartation of God's love for that young man. And so we spent the next 4 years, 5 years, well, he was 14 until he was 18, traveling a couple hundred miles to see him and just let him know we still cared. We didn't take our daughters. It was too painful. They couldn't handle seeing him. It was too traumatic. The man who abducted me, I was his third victim. And he had just gotten out of a mental institution. He was out 3 days. And so he was returned to a mental institution and remained there for many years. What was the other piece that I was asked about? My daughters. I want to talk with you tonight about the healing process that the Lord took me through and led me through and taught me in ministering to our daughters and my husband. One of the things that I quickly discovered that was painful was that my mother's love wasn't enough. It wouldn't do the job. No matter how much I held him and rocked him and told him it was going to be okay, and Daddy held him and rocked him and said it was going to be okay, it wasn't enough. And I realized that we needed something divine and something powerful to get through this. And as we prayed and sought the Lord, he began to lead us to the Word and the power of the Word and the power of, you know, the Scripture says that in Ephesians that it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that we conquer the enemy. But the Word of God is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is love. So it all ties together. The word spoken in love, ministered in love, is a healing force that sets us free. And so as the children would have nightmares and cry out in the night, which they did nightly, I just would take my Bible and I would go sit beside their beds and lay my hands on them and begin to speak the word of God over them and pray the word of God over them. And I took passages of scripture that I translated into prayers for my children. And I watched a healing process begin taking place. And I'm going to share those scriptures with you tonight because they are so powerful. And they were predominantly about the love of God and prayers for the children to know the love of God, because I realized that it was only their personal relationship with God that would enable them to be whole and lead whole lives, that they couldn't have a vicarious relationship through me or my husband. It had to be something that was them and God. And they had to work out their own walk and their own relationship and their own feelings and their own emotions. Now, we started with a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old. And so they're pretty young to understand a lot of concepts. But we'd talk to them, and we had already talked to them about forgiveness. And so we worked on the issue of forgiveness and telling them that forgiveness was not a feeling, it was a choice. And when the nightmares would come and the tremors would come and the terror would come, that they could say, Jesus, I need your healing and I choose to forgive Scott. I choose to forgive him. Help me and heal me. One of the things that we learned was that at each sort of level of emotional development, they had to revisit We had little seasons where we would be relatively free of nightmares, and then they would start into a new emotional development level, such as puberty. And we went through the whole thing again. And they were frustrated. They said, "Mama, we already dealt with this. Why is this happening again? Why can't we just get over it and get on with life?" And so we went to the Lord and we said, "Lord, why? Why? You know, your word says that you're the healer. Why is this healing not complete? Why is it resurfacing and resurfacing?" And you know what? He says the Holy Spirit came to be our guide and our teacher and our comforter. And he talked to us. And he was and is our guide, our teacher, and our comforter. And he just would put it into our hearts. There's a deeper level of understanding that they have grown to in their emotions. And so we shared this with our children. And he just seemed to bring to us that they would revisit it until they reached their emotional maturity level. And he put a book in my hand that talked about that, and that a woman's emotional maturity level is around the age of 30. And it gave them such hope. Because then they understood, okay, you know, at 13 and 14 in puberty, I'm going to go through this. And then when they were ready to leave home at 18 and 19, we went through the process again. And then when my daughter was getting married and she was about 24, she came, we went through the process again. And my daughter that is turning 30 this month, we've gone through the process with her. And each time we'd go a deeper level, and each time they would experience more freedom and healing. Now, it may work different for other people, but I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share that with you. I heard somebody say today that this had been a healing camp, and that there used to be or has been a lot of training and healing. And I just want to share with you how the Lord has led us in healing to people who've had extreme trauma and deep wounds. After Scott left our home, he left our home in May, and in August, my two niece and nephew, whose mama had died when they were 5 and 6, my sister, and then their daddy had died when they were 13 and 14. Their daddy died in May, and they came to live with my parents, their grandparents. And then in August, the plan was they would come live with us, because my parents didn't feel like they were able to raise them. And because they wanted to come live with us. We had been very involved in their life when their mama had died, and we had cultivated that relationship with them over the years and brought them to stay with us in the summertime and that sort of thing. So they came and lived with us at 13 and 14. Now, they hadn't suffered the same kind of trauma as our birth daughters in that way that we knew, but they'd suffered great loss, and they knew a lot of grief and a lot of loneliness. And so it's the same principles of love that worked for them. And then after our Christy and David graduated from high school, and our birth daughters were 11 and 14, we were asked to take two girls in who were therapeutic foster care. And they came to our home at 8 and 9. And they'd been really traumatized. So we were applying the same healing principles in their lives. And God is a giver of life. The oldest of the foster girls, from the time she was tiny, had gone to a Sunday school in the little community where she lived when she could. And she had prayed that God would take her out of her awful home and give her a mom and dad who loved Jesus. And she suffered much before it happened. She was 9. But he did take her out of her home and put her with us. And her and her younger sister, and they love the Lord. They're 29, 28, and 26. And it's just amazing to see how God has worked in their lives. They still have struggles, but it's amazing the grace of God in their lives. So I have seen the hand of God work through his love to bring healing to very, very deep and wounded people. And I've learned much about myself and about God's love. I've learned much about children who have been ravaged by the father of lies. That's what Jesus said Satan is. And he's the one that orchestrated the devastation in their lives. He used human people, but he orchestrated it. And as they come into our home, they had huge trust issues. Huge trust issues. But you know, I would get frustrated with them. And I remember saying, can't you just believe what I say? And I heard the Lord say to me, Ruth, you don't always believe what I say. Yes. Yes. And I would say, don't you understand that behavior equals consequence? If you do this, this is going to happen. Because that's how it was in our home. We had rules and we had consequences for rules, because that is how you have to work with children with these struggles. Well, I think it's how you have to work with any children, but, you know, that's just me. So, and the Lord would say to me, Ruth, you don't always realize that. You're always pushing the edge of it, seeing what you can get away with. So what makes you different than the children? And he would just talk to me that way. And I would say, oh, God. And I learned so much about myself. He said, I'm trying to develop a relationship with you as your father. And you have a lot of issues that you're needing to work through. You don't trust me like you should. You're always trying to do it yourself. You're always trying to rely on your own strength. And you often think you have a better idea. And you have mindsets about how it should be. And as frustrating as your children are to you, and you look at the situation, and you know what's dangerous for them, what's good for them, and you're trying to save them from self-destructing, and you feel like they're sabotaging your efforts, and you do the same thing with me. I'm trying to get you to go here, and you're bent on going here. And I finally let you go there, and then you get upset with me because something happens. And he said, I want to teach you how to have a relationship with me as your father through these children. While I'm healing them and while I'm healing you. It was an incredible, incredible journey. All the children, I'm the grandmother to all their children. Don's the grandpa. We're the grandparents to their children. We are their parents. It's taken a lot of work to cultivate and a healing relationship with them. It was a completely different dynamic than parenting our own children. Even with our own children's struggles, they never had trust issues with us. They had trust issues with God, but they didn't have trust issues with us. And they never doubted our love. We didn't have to prove our love to our birth children. But to the other children, we were always on trial, needing somehow to prove to them that we loved them and wanted them. And the Lord would say to me, Ruth, I adopted you. We're adopted into His kingdom. And because of your past before I adopted you, you're always wanting me to prove my love to you. Accept my love. Accept my love. Receive my love and let it flow. Receive my love and let it flow. And I found as I prayed these prayers over these children that they took root in me and impacted my spirit. And probably one of my favorite ones was from Psalms 139. And you all know it, or I'm sure that you've heard it, but I turned it into a prayer that went like this. Lord God, you formed the inward parts of my children. All of my children, my birth children, and the children that you have placed in our home for us to parent. You knit them together. You knit my birth children together in my womb, but you knit the others together in their mother's womb. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes saw their unformed substance, and in your book, all, and I would emphasize all, Lord, all their days were written, all their losses, all their pain, all their days were written before ever they took shape. And then the next line says, your thoughts for them are precious and weighty. Through all that they've been through, God, your thoughts for them are precious and weighty. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. And I would take Isaiah 61 and I would say, Father, I thank you that Christ was sent so that the brokenhearted could be healed, so that the broken hearts of my children that you've placed in my care could receive your healing power in their lives, that they are set free from any captivity and any prison door that has them bound is opened. Lord, I believe and I receive this work of resurrection life and power for myself, my children, my husband, our family. And I would read Jeremiah 29:11. I thank you, Father, that your thoughts and plans for my children and for their welfare and peace are not for evil, that you have given them a future and a hope in their final outcome. I'm thankful that they can call upon you and come and pray to you, and you hear them. I thank you that they will seek you with all their heart and find you and be released from their captivity. I continue to pray those prayers for my children and my family and others. And then I would take the prayers that Paul prayed for the churches in Ephesians and Galatians and Colossians, and their prayers for the people to know the love of God. And for example, in Ephesians 3, it says, Father, oh, Father, and just close your eyes and pray this prayer with me tonight. Pray it for yourself. Pray it for your loved ones. Pray it for those that you know that are hurting, because it is the solution and the healing to all pain. Out of the rich treasury of your glory, strengthen our loved ones. Reinforce them with your mighty power in their inner being. Let the Holy Spirit dwell in their innermost being and personality. Oh, that Christ would abide and make his permanent home in their hearts. Oh, Father, that they would be rooted deep in your love, deep in your love, and founded securely on your love. The foundation of their lives be your love. Lord, give them the power to be strong and to grasp the incredible experience of your love. Lord, reveal to them deep inside the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of your love. Oh God, let us all come to know practically through experience for ourselves the love of Christ. It far surpasses mere knowledge. Let us be filled through all our being with the fullest measure of your divine presence. Oh God, oh Father God, that we could be wholly flooded with you, wholly flooded with your love. Father, I thank you that out of the rich treasury of your glory, my children are strengthened. They are reinforced with your mighty power in their inner being. The Holy Spirit dwells in their innermost being and personality. You abide, Christ, you abide and make your permanent home in their hearts, that they will be rooted deep in your love, founded securely on your love. Paul prays it twice. That's so important. They will have the power to be strong and grasp the incredible depth of your love. Oh God, let it far surpass what mere knowledge can bring us. And then I would just lay my hands on them, and I would sit by their beds until I felt the Lord just giving me the visions of them being wrapped in his love, cocooned in his love, cocooned in his peace, bathed in his love and his peace. Just bathed in his love and his peace and wrapped in his love. I remember reading about Glenn Clark talking about not praying for anyone for healing until he was infused with the love of God for them. And so I would just pray that I would be infused with God's love until that healing power flowed out into their beings, their spirits, their souls, their bodies. Scripture says, "Who a broken spirit, who can bear?" But when the desire of the love of God comes, it's a tree of life. The love of God permeating their beings. And there's several other scriptures that are written with this theme and this thought. And I would just take them and pray whichever one I felt like the Lord was leading. And God's healing power would flow into them. A tremendous grace of God at work in their lives. Now I can tell you, they've gone through struggles because they're people. And growing up had difficulties, just like everybody. But David is a German teacher, passionately loves the Lord, graduated from Fuller Seminary, fluent in Greek and Hebrew, and he loves the Lord, and he's raising his family in the love of the Lord. Christy went through some really hard struggles, but she's an awesome Christian girl. She leads medical mission trips into hard places in the world. She went to Kenya on a medical mission trip and sent home pictures of her being surrounded by orphans. And through an interpreter, she was telling them that she was an orphan too. And she could relate to their struggle and their pain and their loss. And Charity is a teacher. Her and her husband are teachers, and they love the Lord. And it's all the grace and love of God. It is God's love and grace. And I stand in awe and I'm amazed at the healing power of His Word, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord. But we need to take His Word and appropriate it and implement it and speak it and pronounce it. In Proverbs, it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And we either bless or curse. And sometimes if we do neither, if we just don't speak it, there isn't life there. We have to express the word that gives life over our children. Alyssa called me last night. When I got back to the room, she called me at 11:30 and she said, what time is it there, Mom? I said, it was 11:30. Oh, yeah. And she was sharing with me. She just finished a counseling session. She didn't have a clue what I talked about last night. But she said, I just have to tell you, I'm so excited. This is a gal that her and I had been working with for a long time. And I'd been working with a gal in a counseling, and she met up with Alyssa and asked her if she'd meet with her. And God just used her. This gal had needed to forgive her parents. And I had worked with her, and I always met a wall. And the wall said, I can't forgive them until they change their ways. And Alyssa just could talk to her in a way that I never could have. And she said, Mom, she broke. And she said, I told her, look, I had to forgive Scott. And she said, my last conversation with Scott on the phone was, Scott, I love you. And I forgive you, and I want you to know Jesus, and I want you to experience His healing like I have. And that was when she was about 20, 21. But she could share that with this gal, and she could say, you can choose to forgive, and God will heal. But if you don't, you won't heal. You will continue to be stuck. And you have to let God work with the other party. You can't force it. but you can forgive. I just think that is the incredible, awesome, fabulous, redemptive power of God. And the awesome, incredible, redemptive power of His Word. And I'm nobody special. I really am not. It's not because of who I am that I could take the Word of God and pray it over my children. Now, I had passion. I had love and passion for them. And I desperately wanted them to not live their lives wounded from the residue of this. And I wanted me to not live my life in a wounded state. So I had desire, and I had purpose, and I had motivation. But it wasn't me, and it wasn't my husband that brought that healing. It was the Word of God and the power of His love being released into the lives of these children. And any one of us can be the conduits. We can be the voice and the hands to pray the Word and to speak the and touch and speak the words of love that bring that healing. And we don't always have to be in the presence of the person to do it. I had a lot of struggles with my father. And when I got married, the Lord told me that I needed to honor my husband as unto the Lord. And I didn't want to do that. In fact, I couldn't do that. There was wounds in me. And so I was saying, Lord, I'm having such a hard time here honoring him. And it wasn't because he was not honorable. It was stuff going on inside of me. And the Lord said, well, the reason you're having trouble is because you don't honor your father. Okay. And so I immediately started telling the Lord all the reasons why I felt justified in not honoring my father. And to me, they were valid reasons. And I had a long list. And the Lord spoke to me about forgiving him for all those reasons. Perceived, whether right or wrong. And so I spoke the words of forgiveness, and then he said, now I want you to start praying for your father, because this is how you will come to honor him. And as I started to pray for my father, the Lord started giving me dreams and visions about my father when he was a little boy and some of the things that had happened to him. And some of the dynamics in his childhood that he never talked about. I was 30 years old before I heard my father actually say to me, I love you. He didn't know how to do that. He didn't know how to tell us children he loved us. And when I began to pray for him and intercede for him, and speak the love of God over his life and the Word, my heart changed. My heart changed. And it was probably about 9 years after I started really praying for him, the first time he looked me in the eye and said, Ruth, I love you. And I think that was a miracle of God. But it also released me to begin to honor and love my husband in the way that I should, because I no longer had the father issues standing between us. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The issues of relationship that we have with key people in our lives get transferred to other key people in our lives. One of the struggles and issues that our foster daughters had was that their mom was an alcoholic and a drug addict, and she would bring men into the home that were very abusive to the girls. And so they felt abandoned, neglected, and abused. And so that was projected to me. And that was a huge wall between us, that I was going to somehow do the same thing to them. And they couldn't let the wall down to trust me. And one of the foster daughters would just get upset, and she would just stand and just scream, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you." And I would know she wasn't really, it wasn't me she hated, because afterwards she would crumple and cry. And she'd say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." But it was the pain and the anger and the frustration and the hatred that she had for her mother. And we worked with her and worked with her and worked with her. And finally, when she was in her just a few years ago, she was in her mid-20s, she was able to forgive her mom and begin to receive healing at the level she needed to. Begin to understand what drove her mom. You know, there's always stories behind the stories. Her mom is a little girl, 5 years old, had a drunk father come home and throw gasoline on a wood stove. The stove exploded. The house started burning. The little girl went to the bedroom to save the baby brother, got him outside, but he died. And she was horribly burned and scarred. I could only have compassion for her. She was just trying to survive, to cope as best she could. But for Angie and Dorothy, that was hard to understand and grasp until they were older. And then they could process forgiveness and begin to walk in their healing. Forgiveness is such a key factor in healing, because we let go and let God take it, and we give up making them accountable, so that the grace of God can work in our lives. Because you know, Scripture tells us in Matthew and Mark that if we don't forgive, God can't forgive us. And if God hasn't forgiven us, if we're not walking in that forgiveness, there's a barrier in being able to receive and walk in the joy of His love. So we would teach the children, forgiveness is like breaking the chain that binds you to the person who's caused your torment. And when a child has been ravaged, as these children were, we had to continually reassure them, forgiveness does not mean that you have to trust and have a relationship with that person. But it does mean you release them into God's care. And you let go. You let go. And they've learned the lesson. They've struggled, but they've learned the lesson. And I attribute it to the love of God and His word being prayed and spoken over them, and the Holy Spirit then having the power and the freedom to actively work in their lives. I think we're supposed to go through a couple more prayers, and I want you to just tonight, just do this exercise with me. How many of you have loved ones in this room that you're concerned about, that you know are hurting, that they need a healing touch from the love of Jesus in their lives, physically or emotionally? Because I've seen this same principle work for the physical. There was a man dying, and my husband was in the hospital in the room next to him. And I was reading a book called Reese Howell's Intercessor. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Ruth, go in and pray for that man." And I said, "No, Lord. I mean, he's got his whole church in there, and all the elders and the pastor, and they're all really good friends of ours, and we know them well, and they're wonderful people of God." And I said, "That's really arrogant. They've all been praying for this man and praying for this man, and you're asking me, you're telling me to go in there and pray? No, I'm not going to. It just looks like I'm saying, watch out, here comes the Holy One." I mean, I just was, you know, this doesn't make any sense. I respect their prayers. In fact, the pastor that was with this man had come and prayed when my husband had fallen off the roof, and the Lord had used him for a healing of my husband. So I'm thinking, why you don't need me in there? And I put down my book, and I got up and went into the little girl's room, and I was restless and frustrated. And I came back up, and my book had fallen off the bed and was closed, and I picked it up, and I opened it, and there's an account in there where the Lord tells Reese Howell to go to the hospital, go to the room, and pray for a man. And I opened to that passage, which was nowhere near where I was reading. And those were the words right there. So I said, okay. So I went in and I just sat down and asked the pastor. I said, "I just want to sit here and pray silently. And I don't want to bother anybody." And I just laid my hand over him. And as I started to pray, the Lord gave me a vision. I was praying silently, and he gave me a vision of this black mass in this man's lungs. And I'm praying, and I'm thinking, he's dying of cancer elsewhere in his body. Why do I see the mass in his lungs? So I prayed, and I prayed, and I saw the hand of the Lord come down and pull out that mass from his lungs. And then when that was done, it was done. And I got up and left the room. And the next morning, I was in the hospital room with my husband when the doctor came in, and I heard him hollering, "Well, hello, Lazarus, you have come back from the dead." And I was excited, and I thought, what? Well, I didn't know that he was not dying from the cancer. He was dying from pneumonia. God healed him of the pneumonia and gave him 6 months to mend relationships with his family. He didn't heal him of the cancer. Isn't that interesting? Because he's God. I pondered that. I said, you know, pneumonia, small fry, cancer. But God is God, and we just do what he tells us to. And the results are his. And there was an incredible healing with his children during that time that took place, that needed to be done. He wasn't meant to die yet. There was still work to be done. And then he went on to be with the Lord. I prayed God's healing love. That's what I was praying over him, was love. God's healing love and centering in on his love. So let's do this tonight. We can do this. You can do this. I want you to just think about the person that you love, that you know needs a healing touch from God. And we're just going to pray a few more prayers. Think of them cocooned in the arms of God. Think of them wrapped in his love. Think of the Holy Spirit just swirling around them, holding them. Dear Father God, we ask that these loved ones would be filled with the deep, deep, clear knowledge of your will in all the ways and purposes of you in their lives. That they would be anointed with the understanding and discernment of spiritual things. That they would live and conduct themselves in a manner fully pleasing to you, Lord, desiring to please you in all things, that they would bear good fruit and grow steadily and deeper and clearer in their relationship with you, that they would be strengthened and invigorated with all power according to your might and glory, and that they would exercise every kind of endurance with patience and joy. Father, you have qualified them through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, to share in your glory and in your love. Lord, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let their eyes be flooded with light so that they can know and understand the hope. Let them know and understand the hope that you have called them to. Help them know and understand the immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of your power and your love. Help them know it deep in the inner core of their being, deep, deep in the deep wells of their spirit and their soul, Father. Reveal your love to them and bring your healing power. Let it flow, Father. Let your healing love flow into every fiber, every core of who they are. We speak the resurrection life and power of the Lord Jesus Christ into their being, that the same Spirit that propelled Christ from the tomb and raised him up would quicken them in their spirit and their soul and their body. And in their whole being, we lift them up into your arms of love, God, and we release them into your presence, and we let go of our expectations and our demands upon them, and we release them into your love, that your will and your purpose and your divine plan for them would be fulfilled in their lives. Father God, we love you. We love you and we thank you for the love that you have demonstrated to us and the depth of your love that you have imparted to us and spread abroad in our lives, and for the healing that you have brought in our lives, for your transformation power that has lifted us up and cleansed us and soothed our wounds and restored us and given us life and breath and hopes and dreams. We thank you, Father. The same love is at work in our loved ones. Oh, Father, we love you. We love you. Just receive the Father's love tonight. Just nestle into his love and let it flow in you and through you and over you. It is the greatest healing, most powerful force in the world. It transcends all other forces and all other powers and brings life. Father, thank you. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for being in us tonight. Thank you for visiting us with your presence and your love. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Father God of heaven and earth, we love you. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice that introduces us and ushers us in to the love of the Father. Thank you. Thank you from the depth of our being. That because of you, we live and move and have our being in love. Amen.